What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
What up, y'all? It's T-Bop from Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Now, we're a college football show, but I'm a massive NBA fan. Now, I'm a Pelicans fan, which can be a trying existence at times, and well, the news about Zion's been no fun lately, but whatever. I love the NBA, right? And if you love the NBA, there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bop? Well, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and you know stuff going on all the time. When you win, very importantly, you get paid fast. And FanDuel has lots of ways to play, okay? Spread, moneyline, over-unders, totals, player props, individual same-game parlays, multi-game parlays. It's all there with the live betting. It doesn't matter if you're running up late, you got to your party late, you're hanging out with the fellas, the girl fellas, whatever. The point is, live betting, I mean, you can jump right in, you can bet with your friends, and you too can be cheering for these same things. So, what are you waiting for? Okay, download the FanDuel app today, and let's start to make every moment more with FanDuel. Promo code SNAPS. 21 or older in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369-NY. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342, Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org, Maryland. 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Or visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Snaps. Welcome back to Snaps, your favorite college football podcast. I am one of your hosts, T-Bob Hebert, joined, as always, by the legend QB1, Mr. Aaron Murray. I'm looking at my shot here, though, Brum. Did we lose Aaron? And oh, there he is! Yeah. Oh, Brum, are we doing like a new live production thing here?
Well,
like, do I get like a solo 30 shot to start?
Looked awful because I did not.
Oh, okay.
Because you guys just landing, never sit in the same spot, so I had to fix you guys real quick.
I literally have not moved for a minute straight.
You're lying. Two, it was T-Bob's fault.
Okay. Well, okay. Three. If y'all missed Snaps last week, it's Brum's fault. Okay, he went on vacation to Puerto Rico. And we're all on Brum time. And although me and Aaron are out here, I'm out here doing the show hungover, 7 a.m. on the Yacht Club Disney boardwalk. Aaron's out here in the Bahamas ignoring his hot wife, doing shows from the hotel. And Brum's out here gallivanting in Puerto Rico. No snaps to be had, okay? So, no. Aaron, it's not on us. It's on Brum.
He needs to take the blame. Yeah,
exactly. I agree. It's never the on-air personality's fault. It's always the producer's fault. No, not really. I love Brum. He's incredible. And I love y'all. And we did miss you. And I do want to apologize. I do not feel that we did a great job of communicating that we were going to be off for a week. And that's on us. We have to be better in the future. I had multiple people reach out wondering if we gotten canceled. We are not canceled. We are rolling. And you know why? It's because y'all help us out every day, right? You help us out by hitting the like button here on YouTube. You help us out by rating and reviewing the show on the podcast, wherever you listen, Apple, Spotify, or whatever. And you help us out by telling your friends about it. Thomas Dare says, got one for the You Got Pegged segment if it comes back, which I guess we could bring that back as a segment. And then goes on to talk about Dr. Pershing, who, if you don't know who that is, I'm not going to tell you who that is because I don't want you to understand who that is. All right. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk a lot of quarterback today as we're going to rely on, imagine this, Aaron Murray and his institutional knowledge of the position of quarterback as we look to see who should be drafted one overall. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, you got the Panthers trading all the way up to number one, which I don't think we've done a show, or maybe we haven't since they did that, a massive move by Carolina, who's also loading up with other moves as well, trying to get good. And it is gambling season, just an excellent weekend of March Madness, college baseball, all this other stuff. Well, we have season win totals. That's right. And even though it's not the smartest, because there's still spring ball and plenty more information, I am going to bet every single win total pick that we give you today as we go through some of the major teams around the entire country. So as always, let's come and have some fun for an hour. Aaron, what's up, man? How was your break?
Break was lonely. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, Bob. Missed you. I miss Brum. I miss the boys. I miss our incredible loyal supporters who are with us day in and day out. So, yes, I will reiterate with T-Bob. We are sorry for the miscommunication, the amount of tweets and message I got last night. Like, did you guys get fired? Is there no more snaps? I'm like, no. We're just on vacation. We'll be back the next week. So, was good to get a little, little chill time, get ready for March Madness, but we're back to work, baby. March Madness has been great, but, you know, we're getting ready for the draft too. So we're going to break down, like T-Bob said, some great quarterbacks and then some sexy lines that we're going to start putting some money on now as we get ready for the next season.
Also, college baseball is back. And if you're a Texas A&M fam, suck it. Georgia, suck it. 0-3 start. Tennessee, suck it, getting swept by Mizzou. Things you all love to see. Aaron, did you play any golf over the break? Thomas Dare in the chat wants to know.
Did I? There's a bear shit in the woods. Yes, I played golf during the break. Anytime your boy gets some days off, I'm like T-Bob. I'm at the golf course. I'm grinding away. You know, I learned from the best. I learned from the best. T-Bob is on our group chat sharing swings, his thoughts on how to become a better golfer. And I'm like, damn, I want to be like T-Bob. Those big, massive Phil Mickelson calves on the golf course. There's a reason why T-Bob looks a lot tanner than he did 2 weeks ago. Is because he's been hitting the range hard, ready to go for spring golf season. Rumor on the street, too, is T-Bob has like 4 passes to the Masters that he may take a couple lucky fans to.
Living the dream. That's such a weird lie to project there at the end, because that's literally you, isn't it? Like in a world where nobody actually has Masters passes, in a world where people have to win lotteries, and like very successful people who should be able to can't get their hands on them, you have a year in and year out connection to the Masters, don't you?
I do not have a year in and year out. Actually, I do. But it's only for one ticket. Exactly. I am looking for multiple. I'm looking for one more for Friday. So if anyone listening knows anyone who may have one extra Friday pass.
Nice. We'll so you're going to take me with you, you're saying?
We'll snap you. So, yeah. No.
What?
I don't know.
I thought I was Golf Bob now. I thought.
Okay, fine. Golf Bob. We can do shows live from outside the Masters.
That'd be sick.
Does Colin have any hookups, Brum? Does Colin have some hookups with the Masters?
No pressure. Snaps outside from Augusta in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only three weeks away, dude. Get it done.
It's so hard. What's so hard?
Also, congratulations to us. I finally got my vasectomy consultation, and Aaron has his on the books. So although we are still weeks away from the actual cutting of the nuts, we are moving forward for all of you who are out there wondering, which I know many of you loyal listeners were. Speaking of cutting nuts, it's nut cutting time, boys. Okay. It's almost time for the NFL draft, which means you got to make some brass tacks decisions about what's to be done. By the way, did you know that nut cutting time actually has nothing to do with testicles? Have you ever heard the saying nut cutting? It has to deal with, and you have like a nut like roasted, like, or a nut like rusted onto a bolt. And so the only solution left is to actually cut the nut with, like, I don't know, pliers or whatever. So I thought that was pretty shocking. That's just a little fun aside. What we're here to talk about is Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud. Who should be the number one overall pick in the NFL? And you're like, oh, but T-Bob, what about Anthony Richardson? And I feel you, dude. I feel you. What about Anthony? I mean, the cat who is a physical freak, best relative athletic score of all time at the combine for a quarterback, touchdown to pick ratio of 12-2 over the final six games. But look, let's be clear. Anthony Richardson is going to the Colts at 4. Indianapolis fans are ecstatic. He's not going to climb to 1. Okay. And so we are accepting that. I am accepting that as a truth going into this. I think that the Carolina Panthers traded up to take either CJ Stroud or Bryce Young. And, well, the sportsbook at fanduel.com/sportsbook, who helps put on this show, would back that. As Aaron, right now, CJ Stroud -220, Bryce Young +250, which, like, in terms of value, I love betting Bryce Young at +250 to be first overall. Anthony Richardson +350, Levis +3,000, and then Jalen Carter +10,000, Will Anderson +10,000. So it's going to be one of the QBs. Likely it's going to be Stroud or Young. Aaron, before we get into some great information and articles that I've been looking up, do you have a leader in your clubhouse just when you were first posed this question who you think should be number one overall?
Yeah, I'm leaning Stroud. I'm leaning Stroud heavy, and especially because the last time I saw CJ Stroud play a football game was him dicing up Georgia football and that defense. The defense that had been dominant all year long, and seeing him do that, I was like, wow. Like, it wasn't the throwing, because I knew he was a good thrower. You know, I even go back to early in the season. I remember a play versus Notre Dame where he had all-out blitz. It was a cover zero blitz. So it's man-on-man on the outside. Usually they're bringing one more than you have to protect you. And he knew it. He recognized it. He saw it. He kind of retreated back. They're about the 25-30-yard line. He starts retreating, throws an absolute dime on a skinny post from the slot for a touchdown. I'm like, damn. Like, recognition, seeing the blitz, film study, and then obviously, you know, taking that from practice into the actual game, and then going out there and executing it on that high of a level, game of the week, without your top receiver who got hurt earlier on the game. I was like, okay, this kid is legit. We knew it. We knew he was pretty darn good after last season. And he just had a really good year. It was a little bit quiet, wasn't anything sexy, as we've talked about before. It's kind of what is expected of an Ohio State quarterback. You go out there and you put up great stats. And you kind of get numb to it at some point as a fan. You're like, okay, we get it. Like, it's going to happen again this year. But plays like that, and then the plays that he made versus Georgia, in and outside the pocket, actually taking off and running at times, kind of showing some speed and athleticism. Some of the throws he made on the run while being flushed from the pocket from that great defensive line. I was like, that guy, he has checked off every single box that I want. Good size, 6'3", 220, great arm strength, has shown mobility, has shown accuracy both in and outside the pocket, has played well in big-time games. I'm like, there's nothing that he has not accomplished as a quarterback. And the same thing can be said about Bryce. Bryce is any big time game from, you know, Texas and that 2 minute drive to the way he played throughout the season, the way he played in the Sugar Bowl, which I had an opportunity to kind of see and do. Everything's the same when it comes to that. Obviously a little bit more athletic, maybe not as strong as an arm, just as accurate. But you know how I feel about his size. He measured at 5'10". Measured at 5'10", 205. He's probably going to play at 190. That 4 or 5 inch difference to me is the big key. You're talking about a guy that's 5'10 compared to a guy that's 6'2.5", 6'3". Longevity of a career, being able to play at the highest of high levels. I think that's a pretty big deal. So that's, to me, that's the make or break, because CJ has shown everything else that you want from a starting quarterback.
Yeah, so in case you don't listen to a lot of snaps, you may have been saying this, but I do find the overall quarterback evaluation fascinating this year from a template standpoint, right? Or in terms of answering, okay, what does the NFL actually care about? Because Bryce Young, and we'll see this when we dive into numbers, Bryce Young objectively, I think, has the best film, but the worst body. CJ Stroud is right behind him film-wise, but ahead of him body-wise. Will Levis probably ahead of him body-wise, but way behind film-wise. And then Anthony Richardson by far has the best body, but also by far has the worst film, right? So who, like, I'm fascinated to see a couple of things. What do NFL teams value? Like, I mean, at four, is it Levis or Richardson? Yep. And then I also want to see, how do these guys end up doing in their careers? And will that then change valuations going forward? So although this isn't a sexy quarterback class like Penix and Caleb Williams and Drake May for next year, this is a quarterback class that could have some massive ramifications on how we think about quarterback going forward. Like, if Anthony Richardson turns into another Josh Allen type of story, then all of a sudden these athletic freaks, they're going to continue to get their thumb put on the scale. Mm-hmm. If he ends up going bust, well, then Josh Allen kind of remains a bit of the outlier. All right, I'll say this. One great point I love that you made, Aaron. If CJ does become the number one pick, it was absolutely the Georgia film that did it.
Yep.
He was fantastic. And then I'm glad that you brought up Bryce Young and the clutch gene, something that is kind of laughably, you know, you can be
legit.
Yeah, you can be flippant about it, and you can make jokes about people talking about the clutch gene, but it is legit, and there's something there, and there is nobody in college football that I wanted to see less when my team was trying to protect the lead or the game on the line than Bryce Young. Like, even though they lost to LSU, it was not Bryce Young's fault. He made every single play that he could to win that game.
To put him back to overtime. He put it into overtime.
That's what I'm saying. I know. It's the defense that did not do it, as Brum tries to come at us asking if the clutch gene exists.
Yes, the clutch gene does. Ask Tom Brady about that clutch gene.
Yeah, ask Tom Brady.
You look Brum. At the – yeah, Brum, greatest quarterback of all time. GOAT. The difference between the NFL and college football – is the difference between winning a football game and losing a football game is significantly low. It is literally Georgia versus Alabama almost every single weekend. I mean, every Sunday you turn on the film, or you turn on, you know, whatever, CBS, Fox, ESPN, and you're watching the game, NBC. It's within most games were within a touchdown, and most games are within a field goal, and they come down to a 2-minute drive.
Yeah.
College football, these big time teams, man, they 90% of the time, it's a blowout. 90% of the time, you know, CJ and Bryce and Stetson and, you know, Caleb Williams, most of the time, those guys are on the bench in the fourth quarter, kind of sitting back, having a hot dog, having a good time. They're not putting that stressful situation for 17, 18 games, having to put the ball in their hands on 2-minute drives to go out there and win a football game. So I do think that's legit. NFL teams know you win and lose games 50, 60, 70% of the time on a 2-minute drive, whether it's your defense or your offense is going to have to make a play. So knowing that my quarterback has the cojones to sit in there when all hell's breaking loose, when all the pressure on the world is on them, and is calm enough to move a team down the field in a minute to either get a field goal or a touchdown to win the game, that's a big deal. You do two or three of those, that's two or three wins that get you into a playoff. That gets everyone more money. That makes the fans happy. And if I know a quarterback is better at that than another one, and I know half my games are going to come down to a 2-minute drive, then maybe you do consider Bryce that first pick in the draft, because he is the best. He's one of the best 2-minute drive quarterbacks that I've seen in a long time. I'm with you. Like, there is no one I want in this draft class when the ball is in and we need a touchdown and we got to march 70 yards in a minute and 30 seconds. I'm picking Bryce every single time.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge plus for him. That's a huge plus. He is calm, cool, collective, everything you want inside the pocket in those situations. And it's only going to help his draft stock.
So let's start to dive in to a pretty fantastic article on this very subject that came out a couple of weeks ago from ESPN.com. where they dove into the analytics. Okay, they came up with five areas in which they were going to evaluate these quarterbacks: how they dealt with pressure, how they threw the deep ball, their overall accuracy on short to intermediate routes, how they were out of the pocket, and how they were throwing the NFL out route, a throw that you can give us some further inside air into just how tough that throw is to make, right? And so they dove in the numbers, and then they combined it with Todd McShay, who had formed his opinions based on watching film, and they tried to see, okay, were there disconnects? Like, where did the numbers look different than what the film said? And let's just go here bit by bit. Let's start with pressure. And when you look at total QBR when pressured and total QBR when blitzed, I mean, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young were very clearly the winners here, with Bryce Young being maybe slightly more than Stroud. So total QBR when pressured. And again, this is not when blitzed. This is when, now it could be a blitz, but this is when either, like, you know, your O-lineman lost, somebody breaks through, you are under pressure. CJ Stroud led the way, a 30.6 QBR. Bryce Young, though, right there at 30.1. And to provide some context on that 30 number, the other players that achieved that since 2013, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitch Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, Sam Darnold. So not a perfect group, but a pretty damn good one, right? Like that's a pretty good group to be a part of. Mostly all very good. And then after that, the only other numbers that are really interesting on the pressured side, Hendon Hooker really struggled. He was incredible against the blitz, as we'll see in a second, but against pressure, and you saw that in the Georgia game, he was not great. So as you start to wonder, well, why is Hooker not more in this conversation? I would imagine, Aaron, that this is probably a key reason why.
Well, yeah, it's a problem, one. And two, obviously, you know, he really hasn't had the ability to go out there and help his draft stock a ton. Like, yeah, he was great on on the board and senior day. I'm sure he was great at the combine, and you know, measurables are great. He's great size and all those check the box. But there's a couple things that do knock Hendon. One, he hasn't been able to go out there and play in the Senior Bowl to show them that they can run a pro-style offense. He wasn't able to go out there and throw on the scouting combine. He's going to have to execute this pro down on what his pro day is going to look like. You know, I was in a similar situation to Hendon where, you know, I wasn't able to do all those things. All I could do was get on the board, but I had a makeshift pro day where I did throw, wasn't able to do everything, was able to throw a little bit to kind of just give a progress report of where I am in my recovery for the NFL scout. So he's probably, I would assume, do the same thing if recovery's on schedule right now. So he hasn't been able to do a lot of stuff to help him. But yeah, there are a couple of things that we've already talked about. Two-minute drive, can you handle a two-minute drive? And two, can you handle pressure? You know, as you move up these levels, just like anything in life mostly, it gets harder. And it gets faster, and your ability to process has to be better as a quarterback. So, you know, high school football. I'm going against high school football. I'm watching film every single day. It's cover three. It's cover four. You may get a little nickel blitz off the slot. That's about all you get. It was so easy. We would call four verticals, and I would throw five, six touchdowns a game because all I would do is look the safety one way and throw it the other way. I mean, it's stupid. Go watch my highlights. All it is cover three, and you want to call cover four, we'll just throw double post. You move to college. You see a little bit difference. You know, you see a little bit zero, some quarters, some quarter halves, little three, little one. You take it up a notch. And the speed gets faster. You see your basic blitzes, some saw, all that. You move to the NFL, all of a sudden you're going three down, four down. Everyone's standing up, single high, two high, no high to two high. I mean, there's so much going on that you have to process where if you can't get that done at the level before the minor leagues, what makes you feel like you can get it done at the next level at a consistent clip, especially early on? So everything gets faster. Everything gets more complicated. And so, yes, that is a little bit of a knock on him. I think to me, the biggest knock on Hendon fundamentally is Hendon's arm tends to lower when he throws the football. You saw a lot of balls sail on him. A lot of times the receivers are having to jump in the air about 10 yards down that 10 to 15 yard range, jumping up to catch the football. And you're kind of like, man, he's a big kid. Why is that doing that? It's because he overstrides and his elbow tends to drop, causing the ball to sail. So I'm sure these are a lot of fundamental work that he's working right now, keeping it more of a compact base, getting his arm up, able to drive the ball. If he can prove that to me at his pro day, that he looks a little bit more smooth with that, I'd feel a little bit better. But a lot of it comes with pressure too. When you feel pressure and you can't step into a throw, you kind of fall back, you overstride, and the elbow drops, ball sail, and you're a lot more inaccurate. So these are all things, like I said, that you know, he has the tools to get better at. I don't think it's a big concern, but he's gonna have to show them at the pro day.
So, okay, so then getting back to Young and Stroud here, that was the total QBR when pressured. They both were over 30. By the way, the national average was 14. Okay, so they're double the national average. The national average QBR when blitzed was 59.4. CJ Stroud checks in at 85.3. Bryce Young, 89.9 QBR when blitzed. So, nobody better in the country at recognizing what a defense was trying to do and then how to immediately take advantage of it than Bryce Young. But I mean, look, I want to be clear. I think that's a negligible difference between him and Stroud, right? I mean, Stroud against the blitz this year, Aaron, 8.8 yards per attempt, 15 touchdowns, zero interceptions. 15 touchdowns, zero. And I always think back to that Notre Dame game where they really bottled up that Ohio State offense the entire game. And then the one time they chose to attack him, what'd he do? Like you said, you know, fades back, drops it in there, bam, touchdown. Mm-hmm. So when it's all said and done, I'm putting under pressure as a wash, right? I don't think there's a clear winner here. They're essentially putting up the same numbers.
I agree. I will say some stat list for you.
Wait, what?
I do think the one difference when it comes to pressure that I would give Bryce the edge to here is the extending the play. And we saw a little glimpse of it from CJ. Okay. You know, I'll go back and re-talk about that Georgia game. You saw that, but there is a at the next level, and even at this at the college level, you know, Caleb is great at it. The more you can buy time for your receivers, the more opportunity for big plays down the field. It's really, really hard to sit back and create explosive plays in 3 seconds, in 2.5 seconds. And that's how that's how fast it happens. You got to make decisions in a split second. You got to get the ball out now. I mean, these guys, you saw at the combine, these players nowadays on the defense side of the football and offense side of the football, they're 6'3", 6'4", and they're running 4.4s and 4.5s. That means that quarterback has to make a decision now and get the ball out of his hand. So a lot of that is the intermediate game. That is 10, 15 yards, catch it. You hope for a tackle or a broken tackle and maybe get another 15 to create an explosive play like that. But a lot of your explosive plays are because of a quarterback getting outside the pocket, extending the plays, forcing a play to go from 3 to 6 seconds, and all of a sudden a receiver gets open down the field and then you hit him down there. So to me, Bryce is better at that. And that's something that I think is more enticing to NFL scouts, that consistent clip of creating explosive plays because of my ability to buy some time when things aren't open initially.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with Powerhouse College Athletics, UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The tournament is heating up, and as always, there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And that's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Just go to FanDuel.com/snaps and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, whether you're a believer in the underdogs. How far could Princeton go? Or you think like Texas may get it done? Look, it's all there if you have FanDuel. So right now, sign up. FanDuel.com/snaps. However much money you want to deposit, you can use that on a no-sweat first bet. Maybe you double it up, but if you don't, you can get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. So let's make every moment more with FanDuel. 21 or older in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369-NY. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342, Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org, Maryland. 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Or visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia. Well, Aaron, I got good news for you. We'll jump to category number 4, out of the pocket stats and analytics, and it looks like somebody watched the film. Because Tom's here asking, where is Jay Daniels? This is the only guys going in the NFL that they did these numbers on. But inside the pocket, CJ Stroud was slightly ahead of Young, an 86 QBR to 82. But outside of the pocket, Bryce Young had a 95.7 QBR. QBR, the single toughest metric to score high in. Bryce Young had a 95.7. CJ Stroud had a 69. Mm. It is one of the clearest differences that you will find between the two on this entire list. So without a doubt, in the extending plays, mobility with your feet, Bryce Young, the clear winner over CJ Stroud in that regard. What about the deep ball? This was a number 2 element that they looked at here. And, let me find it real quick. Okay, hold on. Here we go. And it looks like, these are throws 21 yards or more through the air downfield. CJ Stroud had a higher completion percentage, completing 50% to Bryce Young's 45. But Bryce Young was a better target. He was only off target 25% of the time, whereas CJ Stroud was off target 32% of the time. So I think you could almost explain the completion difference there because Ohio State had much better weapons than Alabama. I think this tells me that Bryce Young was actually throwing a better deep ball, but that Stroud's receivers were a bit better at making it pay off.
Well, they're significantly better. I mean, that to me, the reason why Bryce Young doesn't have a national championship is because of his receivers. I think everyone realizes that. True. I mean, if he had receivers 2 years ago, they probably beat Georgia. If they had receivers this year, they're at least in the playoffs. They're not losing both those games. They're at least, they're winning one of them, and they're going to be fighting for an opportunity to be one of the final four teams at the end of the day. So he has done more with less than anyone. And it's so funny, as we continue to kind of go through these categories and I talk it out, you know, I still, there is a difference, which sucks. There is a difference in talent between Bryce and CJ. Bryce is more talented. As we go through all this, there is no question about it that Bryce is more talented. Bryce, you know, maybe a little bit less of an arm strength, but he's just as accurate. He's more mobile, which I think is huge in today's game. He has that 2 minute drive, that it factor that I want the ball in his hands when it comes to crunch time. He's just 5'10". It sucks. I mean, literally, it's so crazy. Like, as we kind of go through these categories and break it down, the more I'm like, dude, Bryce was a baller. Like, Bryce was unreal.
And I know.
He did so much with so less. And it's not like he had crappy players. I mean, listen, he had really good receivers. He might not have had the elite receivers that CJ had. He might not have had the elite receivers that, you know, we're used to seeing Alabama had over the past, you know, decade plus. So they were good, not great. There wasn't a bunch of first-rounders or second-rounders. But what he did to elevate their game and to take that team to another level and make that team competitive week in and week out, you're like, golly, he was good. But he's just 5'10". It sucks.
I know.
It's just hard for me to wrap my brain around. And there's been maybe, what, one or two other quarterbacks in the history of the NFL to have elite success as a 5'10 quarterback. I mean, there's so much data going against him and his size that it's like, can a guy that is that good overcome the challenges when the game is about big people? So, it is a big person game. You know it. The game is about giant human beings.
That's very funny.
It is a giant human way, being. Game,
no, you're exactly bigger. Right.
Yeah, it is. You're big right. Fucking people. They're huge. Yeah,
straight up. Are you big? Well, then you got, I mean, it's true. Like, you can't play O-line in the NFL unless you're at least like 6'3", 300, right? Like, you ain't making it on there unless that's just your baseline size that you're dealing with. Okay, Aaron, look, we're going along here, and I know I'm being a little numbers heavy, so you pretty much summed it up. I'll give you these final numbers on short to mid intermediate accuracy. Again, to your exact point, Bryce Young's unbelievable. 10 yards or fewer, he had an off-target percentage of 1.8. So 98.2% of the time, Bryce Young is putting the ball exactly where it needs to be. And then when it came to 11 to 20 yards, it's at 11.9, which is third on this list. Where it gets interesting for Stroud here, and when I'm like, whoa, 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 is this enough of a red flag? Look, I look at, okay, CJ Stroud had the best receivers, right? So in theory, throwing these routes should have been easier than anybody else. I look at the fact that we see Ohio State quarterbacks and all the success that they have and how it hasn't always translated to the NFL. And then I look at this fact, the fact that the FBS averages, the off-target average for short routes was 5.8%. CJ Stroud was at 6%. Intermediate routes was 17%. CJ Stroud, 17%. So really, CJ Stroud is about as accurate as your average college quarterback. And when you're talking about NFL, where maybe the biggest difference, Aaron, I'll ask you, is one of the biggest differences between the college game and the NFL game just that the windows get tinier? Like, that's what my old man always told me about. It's just like you have to be able to put a ball within a shoebox, basically, and that's your only chance of completing the ball. That's a pretty those are pretty scary analytics for CJ Stroud to be putting out there, to be essentially throwing at the same rate as your average college quarterback.
Well, it's not only are the windows tighter, but you have to process so much faster. It's no longer you get two hitches to throw a football. It's you know, so say you have your basic hook curl concept. You know, you're taught three hitch, let it rip. Well, college, sometimes you may get three hitch and another, maybe like another quick hitch just to kind of confirm that you can able to drive that ball in there. NFL, if you take that extra hit, it's a pick. It's a pick. That's the difference. I mean, yeah. It's accuracy, obviously, because the windows are tighter, but it's also the ability to process and get the ball out on time. You talk about the big boy throw that out route. If you don't five, you know, we'll say from under center, if you don't five no hitch that thing and throw it on the, you know, essentially on the sidelines where it's a catch and he walks out of bounds, say you take five and a quick hitch, or you five and you throw it a yard too far inside, it's a pick. That's the difference. You can get away with it in college. NFL, it is all about timing, anticipation, trust, and just let that bitch rip. That's it. Let it rip. If you think for a split second too long and you can't process it, it's done deal. Night, you're getting sacked or the ball is getting knocked down.
And to be fair, that is where CJ Stroud gets his really only big win against Bryce Young on this analytical breakdown, is he is significantly better at that NFL out route. It's actually a point of struggle for Bryce Young. He only completed 40% of them. He was pretty accurate though at 22%, but again, that's right at the college average. Could it be explained with that? Maybe so. So at the end of the day, it's exactly what Aaron said. Bryce Young has better film. He's a more talented quarterback. But CJ Stroud's very damn talented, and he's just bigger. However, after doing this exercise, push comes to shove, man, I'm falling in the Bryce Young category. And I
thought you were going to say Anthony Richardson.
No. I've accepted that my boy AR isn't going number one, but I do think he's going to go number four, and it's hilarious because you have a Colts fan base that is used to having like Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and they've all convinced themselves they're going to be super excited for this project quarterback to come hang out for a couple years. I don't know that I believe them, but we'll see. No, but I'm going Bryce Young, man. I get it. He's small. There's not a lot of precedent for that, but we live in unprecedented times. Quarterbacks are protected more than ever. And although we haven't seen a lot of 5'11 quarterbacks do what Bryce Young, even though we haven't seen a lot of that in the NFL, we haven't seen a lot of 5'11 quarterbacks do what Bryce Young did in college either. So if I was trying to determine my franchise's future, I would go with who I believe to be the most talented QB. And
5'10.
I know. I don't care. I'm landing on, and I get it. CJ Stroud is probably the best film to size ratio. I don't care. Yep. I'm going with Bryce Young, number one overall. I love the intangibles. I love the raw football talent. And I'm just going to bet on that young man to be able to overcome his Hobbit-like size.
Listen, what I'm doing, what you want me to know what I'm doing? Tank for Caleb.
No.
Tank for Drake. Tank for Caleb. Tank for Drake. Suck for a year, sell everything you got, and get one of those quarterbacks.
What about Winix for Penix? Huh? How about that, dude? When are you going to show Michael Penix Jr. some respect and put him in that top three? Why does Penix not get in there?
Because Drake and Caleb are that much better than everyone else. Penix may be number three next year. He may be number three. He's probably a first-round quarterback.
Just wait until Penix tears up the Pac-12 next year, tears up college football.
Just wait till my boy Carson Beck throws like 30 touchdowns with Bubba this year. Mm.
Exactly. 30 touchdowns is not that tight anymore. Like, that's like your starting quarterback for Georgia gets a shit schedule. If you don't throw 30 touchdowns, we got major problems, especially coming out of the Munkin era.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right, 35. There you go, Carson. 35 is the
guy. Yeah, Georgia fans, I think y'all should be really excited about the guy that rode the bench for the last 3 years. Yeah, you got a real committed guy there. He's not good enough to start, but hey, whatever, dude. He's very committed. I applaud Carson. Again, we know, but that's the problem with Georgia. We know
T-Bob's so pro quitters. T-Bob's pro. That's what we learned. T-Bob is pro quitters. T-Bob is pro. You know, I'm a prima donna. I didn't get my job in the first year. I'm going to go hit the transfer portal. That's T-Bob mentality. He is your ultimate country club fella. Plays golf, gets a great tan, is at the driving range, And when push comes to shove, he's just going to hit the portal. That's T-Bob.
So I rarely bring up my own playing experience, but I will do so to heighten the absurdity of this baseless attack on my character. I started 3 years at LSU. I never entered camp as a starter. Not once. Every fucking year, they tried to bury me on the depth chart, and I had to, like, fight my way into a guard or center position finally to get to start, okay? So, no. No, yeah, you're pro-tank. Thank you, Thomas. Exactly. Yeah, you're pro-tank. You're out here telling these fan base, these teams to lose and piss off their fan base just to get Caleb Williams.
No one's going to get pissed off when you can draft Caleb Williams.
You're probably right. And I think there is a lot of secret tanking going on in the NFL right now to try and accomplish just that. All right, let's get into some win totals. As FanDuel has win totals up on the site right now. We're going to run through these, see where we land. These are regular season win totals. So, for instance, if it's a 10.5, then we're talking about a team going 11-1, right? This is not 12-2 with a bowl game. Regular season win totals. We'll start with the Michigan Wolverines. The number is set at 10.5. However, you're getting plus odds if you go with the over at +116, minus odds on the under. So Vegas tipping their hand and telling you they're not really believers too much in Michigan hitting that 11-1 regular season.
I am, man. I you know, they have the pieces on both sides of the football. JJ was massive improvement towards the end of the season. Yeah, he had the 2 pick-sixes in the bowl game. I get that, the first round of playoffs. But the fact that he was able to still put the team on his back and make that game competitive in the second half was just incredible to see, the way he played versus Ohio State, the way he played in the Big Ten championship game. I think that was only his first season starting. I think he could take enough of a step forward, along with, you know, Blake Corum is going to be back. He says he should be healthy to go by fall camp. You got the best running back in the country, a team that has kind of figured out how to beat Ohio State. Ohio State has to figure out who the hell their quarterback is going to be. I think, and you get Ohio State at home as well at the end of the season. It's a cupcake schedule. I mean, it's not as easy as Georgia, but their first four games of the season, Eastern Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers. Then you're on the road versus Nebraska, rebuilding year, on the road versus Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue. The hardest game on their schedule is going to be at Penn State, November 11th. It's kind of like Georgia. Yeah. It's the same weekend, I believe, Georgia plays Tennessee. Like, that's a big time weekend for the big boys. But still, even if you lose that game, I think they should beat Ohio State for the third consecutive year this year. So give me Michigan with that 10.5. I think they beat Penn State anyways. The schedule is just too easy for them. They're more talented. They've gotten to the point right now, they're more talented than everyone else on their schedule. They know it. They believe it. They bully you. They punish you, and I think they're going to do it for a third straight year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to do a little gambling gamesmanship here, because Ohio State is also at 10.5 wins. Now, interestingly, minus odds for Ohio State on both the over and the under. So Vegas thinking Ohio State's maybe slightly better. I would take the over with both, right? Because one of them certainly will hit. And again, I don't know that I'm enough of a believer in James Franklin to think that both will not hit the same way that they both hit this last year. Where are you going on Ohio State?
I'm going to go under. I think they're 10-2. I think there's more of a potential with them because of that Notre Dame game. You look at their schedule, and I say Michigan, like, okay, how many games could they possibly lose? And realistically, if they played really good football, maybe versus Penn State, and maybe versus Ohio State. So can they split those two? Yeah, I think they can. You look at Ohio State, there is a third one in there that is on the road early on the season, week four versus Notre Dame, as you're still breaking in a new quarterback, as you're breaking in a new OC, you know, are they going to be ready to go to play a Marcus Freeman team that should be better on both sides of the football next year? I'm not extremely confident there. Plus, you play Penn State, and then you're on the road versus Michigan. I would lean more towards over Michigan under under Ohio State, that 10.5 number.
Oh, okay. I love that. Georgia, regular season wins, over under 11.5. So essentially, this is, do you think they'll go undefeated or not? And If you do, you're going to get plus odds here for all you Bulldogs fans. Mm. You might want to act now. It's plus 116 to bet Georgia to go 12-0. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to bet them to go 12-0. Why wouldn't I?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, who are they going to lose to? Tennessee?
Tennessee's it.
Sure, Tennessee might be good, but then again, they're working in a new quarterback as well. Like, because of the time constraints, I didn't mention Hendon Hooker on a lot of those charts that we talked about to start the show, but like he scores highly in almost everything there. Like Hendon Hooker was great. I'm not sure yet that Joe Milton can be that guy. So
Joe's a stud.
Okay, we'll see. I mean,
I think he's a stud. I think we'll see. Georgia's defense for two straight years has dominated this offense. They have it. They figured it out. They know what it takes, and they have the personnel to slow it down. And this is going to be, to me, I think, possibly Georgia's best defense of the past 3 years, which is fucking scary. So I like Georgia going defeated. That's it. And for what we know about Georgia, they can get up for one game. Like, that's the thing.
This,
like, they
may be their
coast
best
through
defense.
10 weeks.
It's going to be their best.
They can show up for one game. Yes.
It's going to be their best defense the last 3 years.
Could be their best defense the last
me?
3 years. Yep.
How?
They were young.
They keep losing guys to the
young.
NFL. I mean, winner.
They didn't lose as many last year. They didn't lose as many this year. They're not losing as many this year.
Yeah. No way, Schumann, and your new $1.9 million contract, your $800,000 raise to be a co-DC. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Unbelievable. I'm taking Georgia to go undefeated without a doubt. Like, not even thinking twice about it. All right. Next on this list, Colorado over under at 4.5. I already have a bet in on the over. I guess I'm just going over everybody so far. But I don't know. Actually, looking at Colorado's schedule, I don't feel great about the over 4.5.
No. I do not. It is a tough schedule. I'm going to go under that 4.5.
Yeah, I was all hyped on Prime when I made it.
Four wins is an improvement for them. But the Pac-12 is going to be pretty damn good this year. It is a very, very good Pac-12. You get Utah at the end of the season too, which kind of sucks. You get, their quarterback should be healthy by then. He should be healthy by middle of the season. But, I mean, you kind of look at the schedule, like, where are the wins at? You got to face on the road versus TCU. Nebraska, which is more talented than you. You get them at home. Then you're at Oregon, USC, UCLA, Oregon State, Washington State, Utah. It is tough to find five wins in that schedule with a Colorado team that won one game last year. So I know they're improved when it comes to talent. I think the Pac-12 is going to be pretty competitive next year. So give me under.
I blame Ryan Brumley. He probably had me all hyped up on Prime and we're playing some like cool highlights of him or something. And then I got fired up and placed a bet over on the over. But I'm with you. I would bet the under if you're doing it today. Penn State over under 9.5. So this is basically even like Penn State's getting some rope here. This is saying Penn State can still lose to Michigan and Ohio State, but will they beat everyone else? And I'm a James Franklin hater. I'm going to go under. I'm going under the 9.5. I think they end up 9-3. I think they slip up somewhere else.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over. I think they win one of those games. I think they beat Ohio State or Michigan. I think they're good enough to do that. They finally got some running backs. They recruited well. They get all in the quarterback. I mean, can he be that five-star that we kind of got a glimpse of last year? And if he is, that offense is going to be rolling. So I'll take the over. I think they split one of those games. And if not, I still think they win out the rest of them.
Tennessee over under 9.5 wins.
Over.
Peace.
Over. What? God, why are we picking over in all these?
That's what I'm saying. Over. That's a fucking red flag. Why are we so sure that Tennessee is going to go
9.5? They got to win 10 games. Oh, I'm going to go when under. We'll go under.
9-3 feels great for Tennessee next year. 9-3 with a chance to get to 10-3 in the bowl game. That feels like exactly what Tennessee is going to do next year.
Yeah. I think it's a good spot. I'm with you. Give me the under.
Notre Dame, over under 8.5 wins. Completely even odds on both sides of the equation. You just made Paul Farrington's day saying that you think that Notre Dame could potentially get Ohio State. It sounds like you're a Notre Dame believer. Aaron Murray, which, by the way, I think I am. I think even though I hate losing Tommy Rees, I think I'm taking the over here. I think I'm going Notre Dame, get 9 wins.
What did you say? 8.5?
Yeah, it's 8.5.
8.5. I'll take it too. I like 9. You have 3 games you got to get. You get Navy week 1, which I think is great because you have now, you know, you always want to play that game first. Get it out of the way. You can prepare for it. You get more time to kind of figure out the triple option during offseason. You know, they're going to work it on in spring. They're going to work it on in fall camp. You're going to have a solid plan to try and slow that. And plus, you're fresh too. You know, you got fresh knees. It kind of sucks because it kind of, you know, screws your defense up a little bit. But then you got Tennessee State afterwards. So I think they'll have a great game plan to slow down that triple option. You know, you get Ohio State at home. The tough games, USC at home too. You know, the tough games are going to be at Clemson. You know, November 4th is going to be a doozy, but I think they have the better quarterback. And you know how I feel. If you have the better quarterback, you have a chance to win. So give me over Notre Dame that 8.5.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I don't like them in any of those 3 matchups, but I like them in all the others. Imagine that. That's how Vegas does it. LSU over under set at 8.5. I mean, you know,
easy money.
If you're asking me yes or no, does that's a bear shit money. In the woods and then eat a ton of salmon and blueberries before it goes to sleep for 6 fucking months? Yup. Am I going to take LSU over 8.5? Yup. Hell yeah, dude. Give me LSU the over hit last year easily, like 7 weeks into the season. Give me LSU over the 8.5 win total. Don't even need to look at the schedule. And Brian Kelly, we trust. I'm a full Cult of Kelly believer.
I'm with
if
you.
If LSU goes 8-4, they're going to be ready to burn Baton Rouge to the ground.
Yes, very fair, Brum. That's a great point. That actually should be a major red flag. That should be a major red flag potentially for Baton Rouge fans because that's showing that.
I do think they lose week 1 though. They're going to lose week 1. Everyone's going to freak out.
You're such a little bitch about Florida State.
But then they'll go 10-2. They'll go 10-2.
Mike Norvell, more like Mike Borvell. Okay, he got lucky last season with
really
the brand
is the
new
beautiful
Jay
thing
Davis.
About college football. Is that if LSU beats Florida State, they're going to be like, LSU, sneaky national champion. And if LSU loses to Florida State, is Brian Kelly overrated?
Yeah, like, hell yeah.
People will be running him out of town.
That would be our fucking headline. We already have our headline one way or the other.
For the Monday.
That's a Sunday night show, too.
Yeah, the next Monday, September 5th.
Or is it Monday night?
We have 2 thumbnails. With disparity.
Disparity of narrative, like disparity of results is what makes sports so great, right? The larger the disparity in terms of heartbreaker gladness, the more fun it is to watch because everything that's on the line. I will say this, the over 8.5 for LSU, -132, whereas the under is +108. So they're telling you a little bit that they too are feeling probably over there. And then finally, the Hawkeyes, everybody's favorite team.
Who picked this one?
No, chill out, dude. I love the Hawkeyes.
Who
are fun to talk about.
Iowa?
I mean, I think Nebraska should be in there. Brum, explain yourself. Why are the Hawkeyes
Nebraska? Nebraska and Iowa.
The available win totals on FanDuel right now.
Oh, okay.
And Iowa, legal gambling state. That's why.
Yeah, hell yeah, good. Well, yeah. Who's our girl from Iowa, the content creator that I think is so funny?
Lucy Roden? Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, shout out Lucy Roden, the #1 Iowa follow on the internet. Unfortunately for Lucy, I got to go with the -164 under the 8.5. Yeah. I just cannot trust Brian Ferentz's offense enough to push them to 9-3 in this Big Ten. I just can't do it.
Nope. Give me the under. God, that's so bad. Look at their schedule too, man. I love at Penn State. At Wisconsin, at Nebraska, at Iowa State.
I really haven't even considered Luke Fickell in any of this math.
I know.
This entire day.
Yeah. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin, baby. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying. Does Fickell just get like a chill year, though, where we don't really judge him? Where it's like, okay, whatever, dude.
I think it's a big enough brand at Wisconsin where expectations are going to be he still needs to win 8 games for them to be happy year 1.
8 games? Yeah, I'd say, for sure.
8-4
for sure.
Is a good first year.
8-4 is a very good first year. Well, especially because do they play? Now I got to do a Wisconsin schedule.
They play Ohio State.
But they don't have to get Michigan.
they don't get Michigan. It's actually a pretty easy stretch.
This is looking like a 9-3. Like Luke Fickell might need to go 9-3 with this. I know they were bad last year, but they don't play anybody. I mean, Washington State's not bad, actually. That's a little frisky.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, can Burt do it again to Illinois? But still, if you're Luke Fickell in Wisconsin, you just need to be in Illinois. Like, that's just not allowed to lose to them. We all know that Matt Rhule and Nebraska are going to be the premier program here in a little bit, but maybe not right now. Yeah, no, I'm changing. I think Wisconsin has to go 9-3 for their fans to be really excited. By the way, Matt Rhule held his first spring practice as the head coach of Nebraska, and he had it at 5 a.m. because he's a man, and he wanted to make sure these kids are good and ready to go for the day. Not really. He did have it at 5 a.m., but it was because of some weird scheduling thing. I don't know. Has Georgia started spring ball yet?
Yeah, we're
really
day four tomorrow. Yeah, they had first practice last Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So day four.
I mean, tomorrow. I just figured there was so much like work to be done on kind of fixing the culture and everything that I'm just kind of shocked that y'all are
Kirby's head's about to explode right now with how bad the culture is. I mean,
don't clip that, bro. Yes. Yeah, well, we are clipping it. In fact, we'll probably talk about Georgia culture a bit on tomorrow's show. We also have the curious case of Tom Herman, who now has just popped up at FAU. Assistants continue to get paid max money. The Big Ten's trying to figure out their schedule. Did you see the Larsa Pippen clip, Aaron Murray? Do you know who Larsa Pippen is?
I do not.
Scottie Pippen's ex-wife. Let's do this tomorrow. Went on. I'm going to leave y'all with this as I barrel right through Brum's objections. This woman claimed on the Andy Cohen show, you know, the guy that does all the Bravo shows, that her and Scottie Pippen for 23 years straight had sex four times a day, 7 days a week. Four times a day, 7 days a week. Unbelievable. Just cannot be true.
It's going to be me after I get snipped.
I don't think it's beautiful. Just to get all
the bad demons out of me.
Dude, I think that sounds like torture. I mean, three times a week is great. Everybody's happy. Yeah. You're doing your job. Like, it's not too much. Four times a day, I'm sweating thinking about it. I'm getting anxious. Like, who are you? What kind of impossible bar are you holding yourself to? Just go to sleep. just go do anything. Go talk to your kids.
Hey, when is that good, T? When it's that good, I ain't going to judge someone for it.
There's nothing that good. It's physically impossible for something to be that good to be four times a day.
They beg to differ.
23 years straight. Please get the hell out of here, dude. Insatiable, I suppose. All right, look, we love you. Another episode of Snaps the Book. We're so happy to be back. Let's regain. Shout out Riley Hinton. Chad says Michigan JJ in year two, more pod presence, 12-0. Okay, we're gonna see. But let's have fun hanging out throughout the week. We'll be on AMP at noon Central, 1 Eastern tomorrow, and back live here 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, normal schedule this week. We love you. Please like the post. Share the podcast with your friends. Thank you to FanDuel, and a thank you to Paul Farrington, Pat Gunner, Ryan Brumley, Danny Cardenas, Adam Gracia. And who is that adorable little doggo right there, Aaron?
Say hi, Paul.
What? Paul?
Harper.
Like Fonbo?
Harper.
Oh. No. Oh, hi, Hopper. Okay, that was weird. That's what you did.
Hi, Hopper.
Okay. Well, we love you, Aaron. You have a good radio show, and we love you, everybody in the chat, hanging out with us. You should all listen to Snaps four times a day, and you'll be as satisfied as Larsa Pippen is. We'll see you tomorrow. Holla.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.